Connecticut, Customs,
Love Hope Radio.
Ladogana, the project manager for Destination Asia, Japan. Hello, Claudia, and welcome to the Traveling Culturati.
Hello, Devon. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's such a pleasure, and we're getting excited about our trip coming up in November, and I want to make sure that everyone's prepared. Before going on the trip, we want to make sure that they know how to navigate Japan, and especially its etiquette, its customs, and its culture. So let's talk about greetings to start with. How would you greet someone, especially someone you're meeting for the first time?
Well, when you meet for the first time, usually you say hajimemashite, which literally means it's the first time. And it's kind of like, how do you do? Nice to meet you, that sort of meaning. But then if you just greet someone, for example, if you walk into a shop and want to greet the shop attendant people, you can just say konnichiwa, which just means good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
Okay, so one is a little bit more formal than the other, as if to say I'm meeting you for the first time versus hello.
Yes, basically when you are introduced to someone, for example, or someone introduces themselves to you, then you would say hajimemashite. But if it's not someone you would exchange names with, for example, hi, nice to meet you, my name is Claudia. If it's not sort of that sort of meeting, then you can just say konnichiwa, or if it's someone that you've already met.
In Western culture, when you meet someone, is that you shake their hand.
Of course, we often
see people in Japan bowing. Is that old tradition, or is that still tradition today?
No, this is still very alive. When people meet foreigners, they might try sometimes to shake their hands for the novelty of it. But in general, when it comes to meeting within Japanese people, or Japanese people in general, do not like invasion of their personal space very much. So rather than touching each other as in a handshake, they would prefer bowing to each other. Nowadays, unless you are apologizing to someone or very formal situations, you don't really bow very deep, like 90 degrees. Just light nod of the head is enough. But still, the tradition is very much alive.
So then there are different degrees of bowing that mean different things.
Yeah, basically, the deeper you bow, the more formal the situation is, or the deeper you are apologizing. Because a bow can also be a sort of apology, can accompany an apology, to say it more precisely.
I see. Now, what about the hands or any other, or the head or eyes, any other part of the body that should accompany or be in a certain position when you bow? Does that have any meaning?
Well, usually whenever you bow, including if you just nod your head, it is considered best not to look the person in the eye, but look downwards.
Okay, and that's why?
Because if you bow while you look someone in the eye, so you don't really keep your head low, it kind of feels defiant in a way. It's preferred to look down for a second, and then when you tilt your head back up, then you can look at the face of the person you're talking to.
And all of these things are so important, because when you visit a destination, you don't want to offend, and sometimes it's ignorance that we offend. It's not that we're doing it on purpose.
Of course. But I find that when it comes to tourists, Japanese people are very forgiving for these sort of things. They will not be offended or upset. Still, they will be very happy and will appreciate very much when they see foreign travelers trying to adapt to the local culture.
What about dining? The difference between Japanese culture when it comes to dining and American culture, is the difference between the utensils?
Of course, the main tool to eat in Japan is chopsticks. However, for tourists, most shops will carry a fork and Western cutlery if you can't really eat with chopsticks. And they will not think bad about it. However, if you do try to use the chopsticks, it is really important to keep two manner rules. One is to never stick your chopsticks into your food, especially when it comes to rice. And the second one is never use chopsticks to pass food from one pair of chopsticks to the other. Like, for example, if you want someone to taste a little bit of your sashimi, you do not pass the sashimi piece into the other person's chopstick. And this is because this is something that reminds people of how the family passes pieces of bones and remains after a cremation ceremony. So it is really not allowed when you're eating to do that, because they use chopsticks to pick up pieces of bones and remains of their loved ones after cremation.
Well, that's very good to know, and it's something that I never knew, and I hope I never made that faux pas. I don't know if I have, but I hope that I never have. Now, sometimes you see the little, it's like a resting spoon for your chopsticks. And so is that where you're supposed to put them? Or what about if you lie them across your plate?
Well, it's not particularly bad if you lie them across your plate. It is more polite to put them on the chopstick rest, but you can just lay them across your plate, no problem.
Here in the United States, when you're dining out, a sign to the server that you are finished is that you place both your knife and fork in the plate almost crosswise. Is there anything similar to that with chopsticks and with dining in Japan?
Yes. When you are eating a traditional Japanese meal, it will come in different plates with, often they will have lids, like for example, your miso soup will come into a bowl that has a lid. In that case, when you're finished, you just place the lid back and arrange all the plates as they were on the tray when they came, and put the chopsticks, instead of close to the dishes, you put them on the tray. And if they had some sort of wrapper, you put them back in the wrapper, and that means that you are finished.
Now, since we're talking about dining etiquette, I do want to talk about Japanese cuisine. And most popular here, of course, in the United States is sushi. What are the other types of Japanese cuisine?
One other Japanese food that might be popular in the U.S. is noodles. But you will be surprised at how many types of different noodles and different ways to eat them you can find in Japan. Of course, you will have meat and fish dishes that are not teppanyaki, and then lots of different stews, for example, and even popular Japanese version of a curry stew, which is different to Indian curry, different from other Asian curries. It is more similar to English. And even the sushi that is so popular in the U.S., you will find that it's quite different when you eat it in Japan, because wasabi is already in the sushi, for example. You don't need to melt a bit of it in the soy sauce. Or, for example, they don't come with any sauces on top. They're very simple. Usually the ingredients are just the piece of fish, a little smear of wasabi, and then rice, perfect seasoning of the rice. And then, for example, you have regional specialties like okonomiyaki, which is a sort of savory pancake that they cook on teppan plate right in front of you. Or, for example, Hokkaido, which is extremely famous for their seafood, especially shellfish, which can be eaten raw or cooked. So wherever you go in Japan, you will find local specialties and especially amazing seafood. Wherever you go, of course, it's an archipelago, so there is a bounty of amazing seafood around it.
Yes, I really enjoyed my dining experiences in Japan.
I'm sure you will.
One etiquette I wanted to talk about is how to eat noodles, because I've heard that making a slurping sound is okay.
Yes, it is considered a sign of appreciation, because it means that the noodles are just the right consistency to go directly through your throat into your stomach. They are so good that you don't even need to chomp them.
Don't be surprised if you're in Japan and you're sitting next to someone who is slurping noodles. That is a sign of saying very good noodles. I understand the difference and how you karaoke in Japan and how we karaoke here.
Karaoke is a hugely popular pastime here in Japan, and you can find karaoke parlors everywhere with state-of-the-art machines and professional microphones. Everyone really loves doing it. However, there is a difference to how we do it in the West. In the West, we have maybe a stage or someone playing music for you, and you just go on stage and sing in front of all the patrons of the place. However, here Japanese people tend to be more reserved and don't like standing out things. So the karaoke parlors all have private rooms, which can accommodate from 1-2 people up to 50 people if you're going, for example, with a company party. So you do get your microphone in hand and you sing in front of people. However, that will only be your friends or co-workers, which is a more comfortable environment for most Japanese people.
Now, what would you say is the biggest difference between Western and Japanese cultures?
I think that the biggest difference is that Japanese culture values society as a whole rather than individualism. while in the West, we are encouraged to make the most of our individual characteristics. Even if a rule is a little bit inconvenient for one, they will say shoganai, which means you can't do anything about it. It's for the greater good of the society.
Claudia, thank you so much for joining me today and giving us a bit more information about the etiquette and culture of Japan, and certainly for someone visiting Japan for the first time. And again, remember, we're going to Japan November 3rd through the 12th, and there are still spaces available. You can visit the website at vantage-intl.com. This is the WHUR World Tour 2016 going to Japan.
Yes, let's meet in Japan. Nihon de aimashou.
Nihon de aimashou.
WHUR Washington and HUR Voices, Channel 141. This is the Daily Drum.
After 10 o'clock, your teenagers.